Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, True Straight Up, brought to you by
Mountain West Wellness, Chinese acupuncture, and advanced Chinese medicine, along with happytrees.co and Denver Synergenics and Dr. Julie McCallan.
And we have with us the real dark horse candidate is really coming on strong. Honestly, he is. Yeah. Aaron Wood, I was at the one for
but
the.
That's not what he's running for. Oh,
that's right. For everything. He's running for everything. Yeah. He's running for chair of the Republican Party in Colorado. I went to the debate held by the Hispanic Republicans in Parker. I was not able to go to the Communist Women of Weld County event up in Weld County. But I got lots of reports and he wowed them there too. So welcome, Aaron.
Well, thanks, Chuck. Thanks, Julie, for having me on here. Dark horse, that's pretty strong. So I'll take it. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, you know, just to let folks know, we've had all of the candidates on. We're going to have Casper on the final one on Wednesday. So if you just want to go back to chuckandjulie.com or on Rumble, you'll find all of them. But Aaron, let me start out by asking you the same thing we've been asking everybody. You know, why are you running and kind of outline? I mean, we could.
Your campaign and 45 seconds.
No, you got plenty of time.
Well, but he's got it down to it. He's got his 10-minute one. He's got his 2-minute one. He's got his 1-minute one.
I'll give you the quick one. I mean, why am I doing this? I'm not doing this for any reason except I'm a Christian conservative. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I got involved not because anybody asked me to, but because I'm seeing things get progressively worse. No, progressive as part of that in Colorado. We took our kids out of school a couple years ago. This is our second year of homeschool, and we just can't send them on that suicide mission anymore. And I'm a business leader. I'm involved with a couple companies here in Douglas County. And I'll tell you what, we've grown in spite of the issues that we face here in Colorado. We grew throughout COVID. We hired people. We developed people. We continued to sell and continued to grow because it's like, we're just going to push back. We're not going to, you know, bend to this agenda that's crushing down on our state here. And so, I mean, who am I? Why did I get involved? I saw, you know, a bunch of women get involved, my wife included, spoke at school board meetings. She rallied my kids together to actually go and protest mask mandates out of the Jeffco school. This was after Douglas County decided we're going to stop with the mask mandates on the kids. And Jeffco was still considering, hey, do we continue to mask these kids up? So she and my two youngest, they got together. I mean, they're painting signs in our kitchen. I'm like, what is going on here? This is wild. And before you know it, I mean, she's joining like a few hundred parents outside of the Jefferson County school building. They're protesting mask mandates. And I think today, if you Google Jeffco mask mandate protest or whatever, you're going to see a picture of my son holding a mask. It's holding a sign. It says, no more masks, no more silly rules. And I look at this. I mean, I'm convicted at this point. It's time to get off the sidelines and get involved. And where is that? And so to me, it was caucus and assembly last year, going through that whole process. I was able to become a delegate for Douglas County Assembly and then also for the Colorado State Assembly as well, too. And I'm just looking at this. You know, I'm kind of this type. I'll sit quietly and listen and absorb and kind of learn and gauge what's going on around me. But there comes a point where I'm looking and I'm thinking something is wrong and we need to fix this. And first and foremost, I wanted a group of men to be a part of. I started that group because I couldn't find it. And we wanted to make sure that we're the ones getting involved, right? We're the ones plugging into, you know, openings that we have throughout the county, speaking out at school board meetings, protesting things that come up. I mean, we talked about this before with the drag show that was at the rec center.
You've been on our show lots of times, right?
Yeah. yeah, you know, we got all these crazy things going on, but it's like we need to get involved and get plugged in. So to me, it's not because I'm a politician who got elected. I'm a dad who got, you know, kind of ticked off. And I need to speak out. I need to be involved in part of this. And I'm looking at the GOP like a business. And okay. If I can take it's a not. Business here,
I promise you it's not.
If it is, you know, what are some of those failure businesses like? I mean, Burger King is a great example.
Enron, Enron would be good.
Take a look at Burger King compared to Chick-fil-A. It's like both sell nuggets.
Yeah, right,
Chick-fil-A's
right.
nuggets are $7 for a pack. Burger King's are $1.50, and they're garbage. You know,
yeah.
So it's like we have this poorly ran organization with the GOP in Colorado, and I look at the same as a business. You can't. You need a brand, but you need a brand that actually stands on its values, that actually does what it says it's going to do. You also need structure. You need organization, and you need to build up teams of leaders and empower people, you know, to be involved and to be effective. And this is one thing in just a short amount of time I have realized and witnessed, and I don't think I'm alone in this, is that the GOP does not do a good job of building up people to lead and become involved. New folks that I got involved as precinct committee people, they look at me and they're like, Aaron, what do I do next? I have no idea what to do. I'm here, but how do I become effective?
Right.
So looking at the GOP as a business case, it's a failing organization. It's got poor brand messaging. It's wavering all over the place. And it's obviously it's a losing entity. You know, we're losing, and I hate losing. I think you guys do as well, too.
Right.
And so, you know, it was on my heart for a while. And then really it started stirring up around Thanksgiving and into December. And, you know, I saw Casper, I saw Eric put their names in the running. And I thought, this is the time to do this. I'm going to be a part of this, at the very least, to raise the bar of conversations that we're having around this.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm going at it. I see a mountain in front of me, but it's one that we, meaning normal, everyday people, people involved in business, people raising families, we need to be involved in. And we just can't leave this up to, you know, politicians, bureaucrats, and other interested parties.
And consultants and stuff.
Well, if you want to know what kind of organization it is, you may want to look back from where they took their organizational structure from, which for parties is generally recommended back in the 19th century. You may wonder why some of the titles to many of the things sound just like the Soviet Union, the State Central Committee and everything else. Soviet Union adopted this model, exact same model. It's literally the same model. And it's wonderful for dictators. And that's why Christy Burton Brown, I mean, I was on the executive committee, which is supposed to be the board, right? And she made sure it made as few decisions as humanly possible, shoved through budgets before anybody was ready. It was a disgrace. I mean, the people who were appointed either got elected like I did to the central committee or got appointed like Casper or Dave Williams all quit. They said, this is bullshit.
Well, why would you? Why would you be a part of a board that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you decide or what you say?
You don't even get to decide. One thing you get to decide is the budget. So I got there the first day and said, okay, all those in favor. I go, all in favor of what? All in favor of what, Christy? Oh, you know,
the budget.
Yeah, what's your salary in there? Oh, my salary? $190,000, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Okay, approved. I mean, it's a joke. So that's the organizational structure. And if you want to be a dictator, it's excellent. And that's what Kirsty became. I mean, you know, she said, I'm grassroots, and then sold out to Phil Anschutz for everything she could possibly be worth. And she said, I never talked to Phil. You go, you'll never will talk to Phil. You won't
that's
even talk
you,
to the guys
Chuck,
next to
just...
Phil. You won't talk to the guys who are next to Phil. But
so you're saying what all of us are thinking. Like, we're thinking the exact same thing here. It's like we need to be done with this figurehead party and literally flip this pyramidic paradigm upside down, where it's like the politicians, the funders, the big donors, they need to be at the bottom supporting the people.
Right.
Like this is about the people who are actually out doing the work, the volunteers who are working to actually get people elected, to communicate the Republican message with their neighbors. They need to be on top. They need to be empowered to lead and have a voice.
Well, at least they should be talked to, because I became a PCP, early on, and I said, okay,
no,
well,
anything.
And
like,
you go, nothing.
Nothing, really.
Nothing. But that's, you know, you're absolutely correct in that. And the other thing you're correct about is you have to stand for something. And so what does Christy Burton Brown do? She stands for the commitment to Colorado for things like, you know, puppies and affordability and, yeah. and all, everything else. Bullshit. Nothing about the party platform, the 2016 Republican. No, we don't want to do that. No, not pro-life. Yeah. No.
Well, you know, and she's the one that told me on the Dan Caplis show, she's like, the Republican platform is as strong as it's ever been since 2016. It's like, well, yeah, that piece of paper, perhaps, but if you don't stand on it, what difference
does it make? Well, we were shocked to discover, actually, because Kevin Lundberg pointed this out, and Chuck disagreed, and Chuck, like, for the second time in his life, was wrong. The Colorado Republican Party doesn't even have a platform. It just adopted the national one. So
we're not sure when it got adopted, but, you know, when they start.
Well, there's a whole commitment to Colorado, Chuck, but let me ask you this. What about a commitment to conservatives in Colorado? Right.
Well, where's that commitment? Affordability, safety, you know, anti-fentanyl. You know, nothing controversial, nothing smaller government, no, nothing about
but
that.
But all the controversies are what's killing us right now.
Right.
I mean, do we have any controversies?
Well, let me ask you about some of the same questions, just in fairness that we've been asking everybody else.
We don't have to.
Yes, we do. No, let's talk about first your stance on closing, or as Chuck says, liberating the primary.
Liberating the primary.
Getting rid of the open primary. How do you feel about that?
It's simple as this. I wouldn't have my competitor come into my organization, make some new hires, and then leave and let them ruin my company. It's the same thing with the primaries. We shouldn't have people voting in Republican primaries that aren't Republicans. And in this whole false narrative that in order for us to grow our numbers, we got to open the doors to the unaffiliated voter. I've seen with my own eyes where Democrats had organized who to vote for on the Republican ticket, who they feel are the weakest, the worst Republicans. We're being manipulated by both sides in this. We're being manipulated by the Democrats, and then we're being manipulated by the consultants who are telling us that we need to have an open primary in order for us to gain our numbers. I say it's all false. We just need a strong party platform and a reason for people to want to be involved and become a Republican to grow our numbers. The primary needs to be closed, 100%. Right.
Perfect. Well, you know, I raised all the money for the lawsuit that we brought, and of course, we had 100% at the state meeting saying, yes, go ahead with the lawsuit. Christy Burton Brown said, we can't do anything because it'll cost us money. I'll check whether from the FEC whether we can accept donations. And we said, you don't have to accept anything. We'll raise all the money. You won't be responsible for it. But just, you have to sign on. You have to sign an amicus brief. No.
Right. She didn't sign on.
No.
Well, and that's the whole thing. Like, the party needs to be the lead accuser in that lawsuit. You can't just allow the people who are part of it. You need to lead the charge with that. You saw the email recently about the bank account that was set up for the fundraising. Well, the whole narrative came down to, well, we have been waiting. We're waiting. We're done waiting. It's time to take action.
She didn't have to wait to sign the amicus brief.
Let me answer
that. Well, no, let me finish it. She didn't have to wait for the amicus brief. So she gets to, you know, 30 days before her ill-begotten chairmanship is over and says, well, we'll open the account, but we won't do anything with the account. And if we don't get the FEC, you didn't need to do anything, Christy. You lying lowlife.
I think it's time to take action. That's simple as that.
Yeah.
What about then another question we've been asking everybody, the caucus system? You've seen, you know, there was Senate Bill 101, which went away, but Kent Theory says he's going to bring it back as a ballot initiative to eliminate the assemblies and the caucus system, which we know. I mean, Patrick Davis, Eric Audlin's former campaign manager, although Eric says he doesn't support this, but has been pushing this pay to play scheme. It's a little bit different, but along the same lines. What are your take on that?
I mean, look at it this way. I'm a product of the caucus and assembly system. So I guess if you want to mitigate having more of me and people like me, go for it. Shut it down. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. It's like there are people that want this to be a pay-to-play system and not a means to where we, the people, get together. We convene and communicate with our neighbors. We choose for ourselves who our representatives would be. And it's like, this is the thing. You're getting so far away from the truth. You know, biblically, I look at it this way. In Exodus 18:21, God's command is that we should elect for ourselves righteous people to rule over like tens of thousands, hundreds, and fifties, right? So it's like, it's our job to elect for ourselves in a republic who our representatives are going to be. People that want this to be a pay-to-play system, that want to, these are the people that just, it's the donor class.
Right.
Where it's like they want to burden candidates that have to raise funds to just pay the consultants who are working to gain their signatures to get them on the ballots instead of going through with a solid message that actually gets the support of your neighbors and people in your community. So it's like, first off, I'm against anything that's going to get rid of the caucus and assembly. I said this at the Hispanic Republican event. Shame on us for letting it get to this point, because we as Colorado GOP need to strengthen the caucus and assembly. We need to make, I say that, how about make the assembly great again? Let's MAGA this. Yeah. Yeah. You know,
well,
we really do. We need to impact participation. We need to make sure that people know what to do when they are participating. So it isn't this mystery, like, I don't know how to be involved, but we need to work to make it stronger. And again, too, I rebuke Republicans who are for getting rid of this. You should.
Well, you're what I call the communist women of Weld County, which is Barb Kirkmeyer. She's the one who, one of the sponsors, along with Bob Gardner of it, that was for it. The women of Weld County, that organization is far left as you can possibly be. They had two reporters, one from Colorado Politics, who all they ever do is trash grassroots people and the candidates. And you had somebody from the Colorado Sun who also spends all their
Colorado
time.
Colorado Sun is basically an Antifa paper, but you know, we'll talk about that on a
different Colorado Politics is no different. And the one thing I do want to give you a little pushback, because I know this. It isn't the consultants that run everything. It's the big donors. The consultants do what the big donors want. They do what Phil Anschutz wants, and Coors just follows along.
So you're taking this back a step there, Chuck, because I say it's the consultants, but then it's who's pulling on the leash of the consultants. And I think this comes to, you know, the question keeps coming up about fundraising, and everybody brings up the topic of the big donors. Maybe I'm jumping ahead in
your go for it.
Let's talk about the big donors who have been giving large amounts to a losing organization.
Yes.
You kind of got to wonder, what are the motivations there? Because to me, it's like, I'm not going to invest in a stock that continues to diminish on return and keep putting money into it. That doesn't.
You want to know what the return is?
The return is their businesses are doing better with Democrats in control in Colorado. Let's just call it what it is.
Yes.
Exactly.
They do better. And moreover, as long as they're like Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell did everything he could to stay on top of the Republican Party. He didn't care if he was majority leader. In fact, he withdrew funds from Arizona and other places in order to two Republican race up in Alaska. So he got Murkowski. It's all they want to do is control one party, and then they can sit down at the Capitol and work with the Democrats, and they'll go, it's bipartisan.
And everybody's business.
That's what they call the unity. It's like, this is where we're working together here. It's like, well, we're not working together. You and I aren't, but the people who are getting richer and wealthier and gaining more power for themselves, they're doing great.
Right.
What about then with fundraising? Because this is what I think, that, you know, for instance, Chrissy Burton Brown came out as grassroots. I guess I'm switching, not so much fundraising, because the bottom line question is, a lot of you guys are saying many of the same things. And to me, it kind of comes down to some of this we've heard before. And I'm not really accusing anybody of anything here, but we've seen the Cory Gardners who tell us one thing and then they get in power. We've seen the Chrissy Burton Browns who tell us one thing. And then
Steve House. And he's from Adams County, was a chair. He said, you know, I'm all for the grassroots. And 2 days after being down there, he was on the establishment side.
And Ryan Call became a Democrat.
So. Yeah, well, at least he had the decency to rob various Republican thing and became a Democrat.
I mean, we need somebody that we can trust, you know, that's going to do what they say they're going to do. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I say this, it's like, look at the fruit and look at the heart and the motivations behind things. You know, I didn't protest drag queens showing up at the Southridge Rec Center because it's my hobby and I'm looking to gain something from it. It's like, honestly, churches, my current church and previous churches I was involved with, they're getting phone calls, they're getting emails. The guy I work with is, you know, having people talk to him like, this might turn out kind of bad, right?
Right.
But I took a stand and drew a line and said, I'm going to stand on God's side of the equation here, and this is wrong. And hey, maybe this could have cost me something, but maybe it's going to benefit the community around me. This is the difference, where it's like, none of this is beneficial to me. Running for this is
you're running for the worst job in America.
This is it's a terrible job.
The worst job.
But Right. I mean, Christie didn't want to do it again, right? Because of what the person in this role is going to be faced with. It's going to be tough. And yes, you're going to be under a lot of fire. And I look at it this way. This is how I know I myself or other, you know, solid conservatives are doing the right thing. It's not just when the left is against you. It's when the right's against you as well, too. When the arrows are coming from the front and from behind, you're right, moving in the right direction. And it's like, I honestly, I say I'm a Christian conservative because I'm a Christian conservative. I have God is my foundation. That's my root. This is where my truth comes from. The only truth there is, not this world's definition of truth. And it's like, you got to look at the motivations behind these things. I'm not unemployable. I'm very well employed. You know, I've got a career that I've built, but I'm looking at it this way. I look at my children and I look at my future generations too. And I'm like, I can't stand by on the sidelines and I can't wait for the Calvary to show up to save the day. I've got to be involved. And either I'm going to be involved at the top position or have a great amount of influence over this as sort of a guardrail and a check and balance, because we need to do something different. And we need to have different people leading this party and leading the conversations of what we're doing. And quite honestly, I appreciate what politicians have done who are also in this race as challengers. I appreciate it. I'm thankful that we've had some voices that have went ahead. But we need people that have stood up and stuck their necks out, not because they were elected to, but because they have a calling and a purpose and a reason to be in this fight that doesn't benefit themselves.
Well, this is the worst position in America. It really is. I mean, there's a reason.
Yeah, it doesn't sound that great, honestly.
No, it really isn't. But here's one thing you got going for you. Dick Wadhams thinks you suck, and that there's no greater endorsement. There's no greater endorsement than Dick Wadhams saying you suck.
Well, I look at it this way: the Republican Women of Weld deal that was on Saturday. The question came up about typical red counties that are becoming more and more blue. And Kim Monson wrote a fantastic essay on the affordable housing. I can't remember the SB 121, SB 123. And you look at it this way, where they're favoring high volume, low income housing projects over private property development. And Dick Wadhams himself benefited $27,000 for promoting this. So you have to look at it this way. I mean, I live in Douglas County. I saw HD 43 become Democrat. But it's because I see all these apartments, and you know, people will say, "Well, you're really isolating people, and you're not willing to work out, reach out to people." If people living in these apartments are conservatives, I would gladly talk to all these people and figure out, like, why are you here? But the problem comes down to, if this is subsidized housing, which a lot of it will be, there's all these incentives for the developers and then the property owners to subsidize this housing. Who are you then attracting into this housing? People that are like, "Well, I benefit off of the government dole." You know, they're like, I'm in this home. I'm in this apartment that, I mean, it's egregiously expensive. Like a one bedroom apartment in Highlands Ranch is like $1,800 a month. Yeah. I mean, my first four bedroom house after my wife and I got married, again, this was in Indiana, was like $800 a month.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're right. I mean, they're not going to vote for smaller government. And this is what people need to realize. People like Dick Wadhams who support this kind of stuff is that's not an accident. It's not an accident that the federal government and the Democrats are pushing people into these apartments. This is what they want.
It's like Chicago. Look at Chicago. It's like Chicago is controlled by the housing and urban development plans that they have because they pack people in, and then what are they doing? They're packing in Democrat voters. It's a part of the blueprint. This is what we're experiencing.
Well, you get to go coming up here to the Independence Institute. You'll have fun because who's on the board of the Independence Institute? Do you know?
I know Kathleen Chandler invited me. Who else is on the board?
Dick Wadhams.
Oh, perfect.
John Caldera, who's not even a Republican. He says he's a red meat conservative, but not a Republican. And he's about as pink as you can get these days. And it's owned and operated by Phil Anschutz, just as Colorado Politics is, just as independent. Complete Colorado.
Colorado Peak Politics.
No, he doesn't control that one. Consultant does.
The Gazette is owned by Anschutz. So many of these.
So you'll go. I think I'm coming down to that one.
I mean, it'll be fun, but here's the deal.
It'll be fun because you're going to go on with people who think you suck. That's going to be fun.
But
I mean, Dick Wadhams is not it's not an aberration on the independent system. He represents the board. And so when you get down there, just remember all those people are being smiling at you, want to stab you in the back.
And here's another tip for you there, because I looked at the invitation and it kind of cracked me up. It said light drinks drinks and refreshments available while supplies last.
Yeah, we're so not offering anything. Yeah.
While supplies last. Correct,
because they're cheap.
Right off the bat.
Oh,
Aaron, final question that we have.
Yeah, I know that we have.
All right, but you want to, I was just going to give you this opportunity.
Go ahead and tell us the website and
I put a website up, aaronwoodcolorado.com. I'll tell you one thing you'll notice. I'm not asking for donations. I don't need anybody to cover my gas money. I'm doing this myself.
That's nice. That's a good deal.
I mean, here's the thing. If I'm going to do this, I'm doing this because, honestly, I'll prove these elections can't be bought or they shouldn't be bought. Number one, it's like I want to win on my merits and what I'm saying and the trust that I'm earning along the way. So aaronwoodcolorado.com, I've got an overview on there. I also put together a sub page on there for my red print, which is an outline of different key areas that we need to address with the GOP to start restructuring it into a fighting force, you know, something that will win. I also link my Twitter, I link my Facebook, but I also link my LinkedIn profile as well too, because this is a job. I'm asking for the responsibilities to lead the organization of the Colorado Republican Party. I'm not unemployable. I've been doing this for a while with brand marketing, with business development, and I've had a great degree of success in doing so. There's a lot of businesses that have benefited. Even a business locally here in Colorado grew from 20 million to over 100 million in 2.5 years throughout the pandemic.
Wow.
And we're hiring and we're making jobs and we're helping other people be successful. This is what conservatism is all about. Conservatism and capitalism go hand in hand.
Sure.
Like we're creating opportunities because we've put together a good, solid brand, but also organizational structure. And we find a way to just operate better and do better than our competitors. And this is what we need to do with the GOP. We need to operate better than our competitors, not just be, you know, a watered down, lukewarm version of the same thing rewrapped in a different package, but we need to be a stark contrast.
All right. What's your Twitter?
No, let me finish this. Give us your Twitter and your website.
I think it's Aaron Joel Wood is my Twitter. Website's aaronwoodcolorado.com. And then Facebook, you can find me, Aaron Wood Colorado. It'll pop up Aaron Wood Freedom Fathers, because I'm so proud of the group that we've gotten together with the Freedom Fathers. So I'll always keep that as my Facebook, my official Facebook page.
Well, I'll have to say, not standing Dick Wadhams, I think we have the best group of chair candidates I've ever seen, tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you're one of them. I think you're just a great chair.
I appreciate that. And I said this last on Saturday, too. I'm like, this whole group, if there was room for all of us, which there should be,
Democrats
have 7 vice chairs.
Yeah,
it's so great and refreshing to see the caliber, like the bars up here.
Yes,
and a lot of times you feel like it's just down here. So I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, thank you very
much. Thank you, Aaron.
Best of luck. Okay.
All right. Thank you both for having me on.
Independence Institute.
Yeah, get your refreshments fast. Okay, Aaron Wood. Again, everybody, if you are interested, we've had everybody else on. So just go back and you could look at all the shows because we kind of say who we have going on. And then we're going to have Casper on Wednesday. So here, you know, Charlene here, the Aaron is nice, but he should drop out because he doesn't know the lay of the land, should throw his endorsement to Dave Williams. Sandra says, no, Charlene, you're wrong. You know, I think what we need to do is focus on what you just said. And that is, rather than all these Machiavellian maneuvers, right? The fact is we've got, a great, I think, group of candidates there. And that's what elections are about, right? And people can vote. My guess would be this will go to more than one round, which is how
you never know.
But you never know.
You never know.
You know, there's still rumors, guys. We'll have to see. There are rumors that there might be a last minute,
Rhino candidate.
And you know, Heidi Gnall isn't a rhino, so I guess maybe it would say more of an establishment. Yeah. But so far nothing. So who knows?
Well, they come from the floor.
Yeah. I was gonna say they can nominate people from the floor, right? So mostly the election is on March 11th. There's some 400 people who can vote. Chuck is one of them. I'm a CD8 bonus member, but so we'll be following it. I think, you know, the good news is, with very few exceptions, well, I think there's a good slate of candidates. You're just right there. And I think these are people who are fighters. They're saying it's time for a change.
I've endorsed Dave Williams, but I have to say, I think Aaron Wood is just a great candidate. I think Tina Peters is a great candidate. I like
Kevin Lundberg.
Kevin Lundberg.
I like Casper.
I like Casper. I mean,
you know, and Eric Odlin answered the questions well on our show the other day. People said I was mean to him.
Because Julie was mean.
No, I wasn't. Julie.
Yes, you were. Julie, for the first time in her life, is the mean one.
Hey, so I want to switch gears. So we can open it up now, but I want to talk about this new COVID stuff. So if you guys want to, anybody wants to unmute themselves and jump in on Zoom, they can. And
Can I say something?
Sure. Is that Jacob?
Yeah, I'm not. It's not about the COVID thing. It's about this little phone call that was made in Florida by Trump and was recorded and wasn't supposed to be recorded.
Oh, I haven't heard about this. What's this?
Yes, in the call was recorded in Florida when Trump called Ratzenberg in Georgia.
Yeah, Secretary of State of Georgia.
Yeah, the Secretary of State.
All right, yes. And in Florida, when it was recorded in Florida, Florida has a two-party consent.
Oh, two-party consent.
Okay. If this is true, I don't know. I haven't heard much late. But if this is true and the Attorney General of Florida does not go after the recording party, then I would think that DeSantis has a lot of explaining to do.
That's
an interesting question. That is interesting because that's sort of the crux of this fake grand jury investigation, the special grand jury investigation with the crazy four woman that they had out there. That, you know, I don't know. I wonder if they know who recorded it.
Ratzenberger did.
Well, I know he did. But
no,
I mean,
no, they know. They know it was because it was in the grand jury stuff, and it came out that the call was recorded and it was recorded in Florida. That's in the text of the grand jury.
Oh, it was recorded by somebody in Florida?
Yes, they know who it is, and they know who it is, yes.
Oh, that's interesting, because I would have assumed, I think Raffensperger recorded it too, didn't he?
Well, he's in Georgia.
No, he's in Georgia.
Right.
Yeah.
But they wanted to catch him. I guess maybe Trump made the phone call from Florida. I don't know. But the actual recording of Florida was made in Florida, and Florida is a two-party consent state. So if the Attorney General doesn't go after whoever recorded it, then I would question DeSantis.
We'll have to see what DeSantis is doing, right? I mean, it's kind of interesting. He's not going to CPAC, which Trump is a keynote speaker, but apparently he hasn't gone other times before too. So that's an interesting question. Hey, Jacob, thank you for pointing that out.
Okay,
so then, and as well as back to the COVID thing, if you can pop in just like Jacob did, you can comment. Also call in 888.
Or raise your hand.
Right, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Once again, guys, the conspiracy theorists have been proven to be correct. Now the Department of Energy, I'm sure you heard over the weekend, along with the FBI, are saying that they believe that the COVID thing was most likely, very probably, a lab leak. Now the White House is kind of trying to downplay that a little bit, but bottom line, as it was,
they only had low confidence. Well, they at least they have confidence.
Some had more than that.
The FBI had moderate confidence, and I don't know how you could have high confidence unless you had a source inside of the Wuhan lab.
Of course, they kept that secret, but let's just kind of walk through. So we've got the vaccines. You know, if you get the vaccine, you won't get or transmit COVID. That wasn't true. Vaccines have no side effects. That wasn't true. Natural immunity doesn't work. That wasn't true. Masks work. That wasn't true. Lockdowns are good. That wasn't true. And now we've got this. Okay, it wasn't a lab leak. Remember, everybody, and we had some sound, but it did. It was an operator error thing. You know, all of the media, I mean, we were banned from YouTube for life for saying, questioning the mask, right? Which we now know is true. Now, does YouTube call us back and say, our bad?
Oh, we're sorry.
You were right on that. No, you know, all of these people, Fauci, I mean, I hope they ring Fauci or put him through the ringer on this, right? Because it's his gain of function research. So our tax dollars were paying for this in the first place, right? So we lied about that.
And then he squashed the Great Barrington Declaration. I mean, if anybody deserves the remaining years of his ill-begotten life behind bars, it's him.
I know. It's like, and they've lied to us all along. I mean, nobody believes anything the CDC says.
God, no.
No, but it's sort of like what the soundbite was saying. It'd be like if you were, I guess this is a Jon Stewart joke or somebody, if one of those late night comedians made the joke that if you were like in Hershey, wherever the town of Hershey is, and there was like Pennsylvania, there was a chocolate leak, right? Would you think that maybe it came from the Hershey factory? Or it's like, no, you
naturally occurring cocoa plants.
Yeah, just
they mutated in Pennsylvania.
Right. It's like
at the wet market.
And it's, and the thing is, you know, for so long they cracked down, you couldn't even question it and you get banned. Or what did they say? If you mention that it might be a lab leak from China, you are a racist,
yes,
or a conspiracy theorist, or a racist conspiracy theorist, right?
Or a tranny hater or something. Or,
yeah. And it turns out all of this stuff is true. And now we all knew it was true and it's kind of crumbling. But the only thing I am a little suspicious of is I do find it kind of interesting that they finally decide that maybe there was a lab leak when China is siding with Russia.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right,
so yeah. Not that much. So this is from Jacob. As far as COVID goes, a lady in my community got the two vaccines from Pfizer and then had the booster. She said she did not get COVID because she was on that hydrochloroquine. Right. You know what I'm talking about. Right? For 10 years. So were many of her co-patients at this one doctor's office. Not one of them ever got COVID. I wonder if there could be a test to see all those who are already on this, if the patients got COVID. You know what, Jacob, there should be, but they're not ever going to do that. They should actually do it. I mean, you know, there was another thing in the paper, some star athlete dropped dead of a heart attack in his apartment again. You know, I mean, the hashtag died suddenly. They're like, coincidence, just totally coincidence. But they're not even looking into it, right? No. They're not even trying to get the answers, at least in the United States.
Right.
You see these numbers coming down on the excess mortality, fertility issues, heart issues, all kinds of issues, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to get to the bottom of it. That's why the other day I was looking at something and it popped up, you know, oh, if you haven't had your vaccine, you need to get your vaccine again. If the last time you got it was in September, you need to get a booster shot now. I'm like, seriously? But I think they have no choice but to push it, right?
Right,
I mean, they're
right.
Trying to get rid of the test group, as I've been saying for a while. But it's just interesting that finally, all of a sudden, and I'm always suspicious about when this stuff leaks out because somebody leaked it, but they're like, oh, maybe it was a lab leak after all, right?
That's yesterday's news.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is I want to pull up, though, because no one ever apologizes for it. If we could pull up this screen grab. Okay, this is a screen grab from Channel 9's Kyle Clark, right? This is a 2020 tweet. Okay. He said, some people have been convinced by their political allies that coronavirus came from a Chinese lab. Here's the science that says otherwise. And then he links
Vox.
The scientific, from Vox, a well-known scientific journal, the scientific evidence from the coronavirus came from nature. Okay. Yeah. You can take that down. So that's Kyle Clark. It's Kyle Clark. So he's been accusing Republicans of all kinds of conspiracy theories, anti-science. Turns out we were right. He was wrong. He's the one spreading misinformation and disinformation. Is he going to get on and say, oh, my bad, guys? Sorry.
Yeah,
I guess I was wrong. You know, again, is YouTube going to call us up and say, oh, Chuck and Julie, you can come back on now that it turns out you were right? No. And I even had to watch because I was promoting the show on Facebook. And I thought, if I list all of the lies that were told about COVID that we now know were lies, Facebook would still ban me say that I was violating the community safety standards. So it's just
and
a joke.
And you do.
Yeah. And I do. Well, and Woody Harrelson, right? He was on the.
He had a great Saturday night.
Here's some Stephen. Vox is where I always go to for scientific data. That's right.
You guys say, you know, can you imagine a movie where the drug cartels force everybody inside and say you can't come out until you had your shot in a booster. I make billions.
That's it. That's from Aaron Woods. Science is supposed to be challenged. Well, exactly. And that's because then Charlene is going to say they're going to say next that China leaked it intentionally so we can all get behind their war on China. Well, exactly, Charlene. It's like, you know, but now China and Russia are together, so we have to hate both of them. So I guess it's okay. Although Joe Biden still has a lot of, and Hunter have a lot of issues with China still, too. So I don't know how much we're going to hate
them. Still being paid off every day, you know. I mean, still got an investment fund going.
It's just outrageous because you're not going to see Kyle Clark. They're going to double down. And here's the thing, and I know this is not optimistic, but like they don't care. they don't care that they lied. No. They don't care that people died because they lied. No. They don't care that children have all kinds of issues because they lied.
Yeah.
They don't care that businesses closed down. They don't care that the economy is collapsing and continues to collapse. They don't care. And it kind of ties back to what we were talking about with Eric. They don't care because they control the media. They think they can silence us. They control the election systems. That is why, you know, I know you talk and get, you know, about ballot harvesting, but Republicans got to figure, real Republicans, not the establishment uniparty people, because they're all going to be fine. They're all going to be on the boat, you know, to wherever when everything comes crashing down on top of us. But that's why they don't care. And we need Republicans to understand we need to make fundamental changes, and we need to fight, and we need to call Kyle Clark out, and we need to call, you know, like you said, Vox out, and we need to call all of these CNN, all of these organizations, and not back down. And not give in and say, no, this is America. We get to ask questions. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. Right. But they've been wrong about everything from the Russia hoax to Hunter Biden. I mean, you could just go down the list.
Anything that occurred in the last 5 years, they've been wrong about.
Right.
It is amazing how wrong they've been. You'd think it'd get at least something right.
That's right.
And now we've got the Ukraine war, which, you know, there's no waste there. Don't worry about that. No looking at that.
That's right. Well, and from Jim Jackson, it was a test to see how many would submit. You know, Jim, I think there's actually kind of something to that. I think that there was, let's just see how much we can control.
A lot.
And I think if it weren't for Elon Musk, we would never have some of the proof that we have now.
Yeah. And I guess this week is when Tucker Carlson comes out with the January 6th tapes.
Awesome.
That's going to be fun.
Know, right.
And they're all going, wait a minute, he'll weave some stupid conspiracy theory that it really wasn't a Republican. It was a false flag. No, it's all
right. Here from Charlene. Yes, Julie, they will use our outrage at China for World Economic Forum global domination. Exactly. And again, from Aaron Wood, we need to play the same game. Start controlling the narrative and the definitions, just like the progressive leftist communists
That's
do.
Right. Exactly. Liberate the primaries, not close.
And then,
that's a negative word.
And Charlene is saying, I think that Harrelson snuck that one in off script. I think he did, too.
Yeah,
By Saturday Night Live would have said that.
Right.
Jacob, I'm sure, from Sandra. Jacob, I'm sure the SNL applause sign said, don't applause. It's all part of the game. And then she said, absolutely, Aaron.
Well, there is some good news that I just recently saw. The number three movie at the box office, according to Box Office Mojo, is The Jesus Revolution.
Yeah.
Which talks about hippies in the 70s who come to Christ, and it's supposed to be just a great movie. The critics gave it a 56, so it failed, and the top critics gave it a 17%.
Ooh.
17%. The audience gave it a 99% approval rating. So, you know, who are you going to believe, huh? And CinemaScope gave it an A+, and there are very few movies that get an A+. So I thought this is one we're taking Rev to. So Jesus Revolution, let's give him some money.
Chuck, this is a revolution for Chuck. So we've talked about my movie preferences. I like Fast and Furious. I even like Alien versus Predator.
Well, that one wasn't bad, but some of your other ones.
But when we first started dating, we would go to movies. Chuck would always pick these ones, and he would say the critics loved this. And Chuck would say, who cares what the audience likes? We need to go to what the critics. But even the critics have become so corrupt anymore. It's so woke that you kind of like, if the critics like it, I know, has always been my default position anyway.
Julie, if the movie sucks, it Julie goes when the whole family's together, want me to pick out a movie? And Rev and I go, no! We're begging you now.
Leo was saying, Chuck, that's like when the Blues Brothers came out, the critics hated it.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of interesting. I had a friend send me, and we don't have time to get into this too depth, but I was going to do a whole show on this. Then
you
I thought
were.
It was going to be depressing. So, but she was, it was Karen Cataline actually sent it, from a woman, Dr. Naomi Wolf. And she was quoting somebody else, but their theory was that, you know, we have a covenant with God, but it's not like, you know, no sort of accountability, right? And as this person's theory was, as the world has turned increasingly away from God, God has said, okay, you guys think you can do it yourself? Let's see what happens. And well, all of this is happening.
Well, that's what the Old Testament is. I mean, that's
what she's talking about.
She's Jewish, and the Torah is the Old Testament, the five books and so forth. And if things start going badly, it's because we've broken a covenant with God. Now, that's not quite the same as the New Testament, but that's certainly very Old Testament.
But I think, arguably...
Arguably. And you're going to do a whole show on it.
Yeah, well, because she had evil spirits coming in. It was kind of... But anyway, I think arguably, it's, you know, that's why we need guys like Aaron, right? Who yeah. flat out say, I'm a Christian conservative. Yeah. And what do they call Christians now? The left, the narrative is you're
Christian nationalist.
Like, well, what would it be bad about that? Christian, that's not bad. Nationalist, that's not bad. But Christian nationalist, ooh, that just sounds... bad.
Let's take a
somehow.
Call from Sherry. It's online too from Lakewood. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. So I wanted to just kind of ask you something connected to the great people that are running. I really enjoy listening to them. But yes. also the stuff that's going on from the lockdown. And so you know, Klaus Schwab with the World Economic Forum, he was created by Kissinger. So the World Economic Forum is the public face of the Bilderberg Group.
All
and
right.
the Bilderberg Group is run by Rothschild Rockefeller Cartel. And their goal is depopulation. And it used to make me crazy. I mean, it's been many years since I've listened to Peter. But there was a little man that would call, and he was trying to tell Peter about lockstep. The Rockefeller Foundation published a report in 2010, and it discussed this scenario-based research initiative with, it was called lockstep. But it was basically what happened with the whole COVID lockdown. And then their next step was hack attack. And then the final thing is they want people to get so frustrated and angry and so disillusioned with their government, their leaders, their authorities, that eventually they'll just abandon that and all their objections, and they'll eagerly just embrace a benevolent global government, right? Yeah. And they're going to, that's who's going to truly care about them, all these promises they provide.
Yeah, but right. it's kind of a top up. Instead of the dictatorship of the proletariat, is the dictatorship of the very wealthy.
Yeah, and that is Rockefeller. So when the man that you like, Mr. Thomas, and he was great, but when he says a house divided cannot stand, but the house is divided because this whole global World Economic Forum crap is Rockefeller, and who is the bigger money person with the Republicans than Rockefeller. So
you know, Sherry, you're right. I mean, and that's something I think that if I were a Republican Party leader, I'd be tapping into, and that is the real divide. They try to make it sound like the divide is between establishment and grassroots,
and
this and that. Well, yes, but the real divide is between the elites and the World Economic Forum people and the rest of us. And there
that's
are
the same thing.
And exactly. And there are way more of us than there are of them. And you're right. And that's why they get so worried about it. And I think, you know, we cannot fall for their psyop because, you know, the kind of stuff you're talking about, we had Robert Spencer on. You should check out Friday's show. He was a Jihad Watch. He was saying exactly what you said, that the goal of these people, he said, they believe that there are too many people. One of the main goals is depopulation by any means, right? And you think, oh, no, that's crazy. But then they're like, well, hey, vaccines work, right? Masks work, right? Lockdowns are
killing you.
Yeah. I mean, all this stuff that they told us, oh, no, you know, if you're a conspiracy theorist and you're crazy if you don't believe it, has turned out to be true. So I think you're right on.
I think what you're saying, I would say it this way. The conflict is between those people who love freedom and those people who want to subjugate us. And,
exactly.
And I really think that's the problem. And when I hear the people talk about freedom, I think that's a very good thing that we should talk about is our definition of freedom.
Well, freedom doesn't come from the government. If you think freedom comes from the government, you're already lost.
Well, that's why they don't want you talking about God, right? If you believe that freedom comes from God, I mean, that's kind of hard to argue.
You advertise for an acupuncture place.
Yes.
And you have Medicare. Does your Medicare cover them?
No.
No, but what if I want to use an herbalist? What if I want a nutritionist? What if I want an acupuncturist? But and this goes back to Rockefeller. It is so tied up in only the allopathic type of medicine that insurance doesn't even cover. That's freedom. Freedom is let me pick what I want to use.
Well, right? I can tell you about the acupuncturist. He has made my back after 40 years 1,000 times better. And Julie can ascribe to it. 1,000 times better.
They want you to take pills, Chuck. They want you to take pills.
Who's they?
Well, the big pharma.
Yeah, but not our acupuncturist.
I mean, that's why it's not covered, because they don't want that. Yeah. Hey, Sherry, listen, we got to go, though, so I hate to cut you off.
I appreciate your call.
Your call, as always. Let's see. Oh, okay, yeah, and this is from Aaron here, too. You know, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That's the thing. That's why they need to get rid of Jesus, and that's why it could be the best movie in the world, and the critics would pant. They wouldn't have to see it. They're like, 17.
All they had to do was say Jesus Revolution, right. And that got one top critic even vaguely liked it.
Right, exactly.
Because, so who are the top critics? You know, they're...
They have, again, it's all a narrative. Hey, listen, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thank you so much,
Aaron. Appreciate him coming on. Wish him the best in his race.
And we'll have Casper on Wednesday, Wacky Wednesday.
Wacky Wednesday.
So thank you to everybody. We'll see you there.
Take care.